Sacrifice, a Good Omens podfic written by Shamir and read by Jab. Summary. Once every 10 years, to keep the peace, the city of Lapithus gifted a human sacrifice to the monster that lived on the hill overlooking the village. It didn't come as a surprise when he was chosen. Aziraphale didn't come from an important family, had no powerful connections in the community, didn't have the right friendships. No wife, no children, no parents anymore. He was the obvious choice. Once every 10 years, to keep the peace, the city of Lapithus gifted a human sacrifice to the monster that lived on the hill overlooking the village. Aziraphale understood the logic, even agreed with it. Wasn't surprised at all they'd choose him, and considered himself expendable. It still hurt. 45 years he'd lived among them. He had compiled and maintained the only library in town with care and passion. His thoughts kept fixating on it, maybe because it was less painful than thinking about his impending death. Who was going to look after his precious scrolls? What about the delicate inscriptions he'd collected? So many ancient tales would go lost forever. He focused on putting one foot in front of the other as he climbed the hill. The sun burned hot on the back of his neck, but it didn't matter. He'd be dead soon. "Hello?" he called when he got to the cave the monster lived in. "I was chosen. I'm here." No answer. He looked inside and noticed the cave was unexpectedly clean and well lit by many torches. Luxurious furs, golden cups, delicate paintings on the wall decorated the space, making it feel much less like a monster's hiding and much more like a home, an unconventional one, but still. It was empty. Aziraphale walked around the cave, looking for the monster. He had almost given up when he heard a faint noise to his right. He turned to see a gigantic snake stuck in a thicket, hissing in rage as it tried to get through, the thorns ripping his skin. "Stop!" Aziraphale shouted, rushing to its aid. "You're hurting yourself!" The snake looked at him, unblinking, and stopped thrashing. Aziraphale circled a bush to find its long, black tail, and started breaking off branches and twigs, trying to free it. It was enormous, and really, it was quite silly of it to think it could get through. "Honestly," he sighed as he kept ripping off vegetation around the smooth black scales, "I don't know how you thought you would fit. You are enormous, and really quite heavy." The snake huffed in response. The sun was beginning to set when Aziraphale finally finished. The snake slithered forward and, almost immediately, transformed. From the waist up, he turned into a man, an arrestingly handsome one, with long curly hair the color of hawthorn berries and honey yellow eyes. He had adorned himself with golden earrings, hoops with small sun-shaped pendants hanging from them. The rest of him remained a snake. Aziraphale realized immediately he had rescued the monster that would kill him. The creature rushed forward, and Aziraphale closed his eyes, bracing himself to be struck. Instead, careful hands encircled his wrists. He looked down and saw he'd cut himself on the thorns and was bleeding all over. The monster blew on his palms, magically fixing every scratch. "Thank you," the creature blinked, tilting his head to the side. "Oh, maybe it didn't know how to speak." but it's he was clearly intelligent, bright-eyed, and expressive. "You're lovely," Aziraphale heard himself say. "Growly," the monster said, his voice cracking like he hadn't used it in years. Aziraphale didn't understand at first. Then the monster patted his own chest. "Oh!" Aziraphale reached out to gently push a strand of hair behind an ear. "Crowley, nice to meet you." The monster studied him carefully. "Hurt?" Aziraphale, distracted by the way Crowley's earrings bounced against the side of his graceful neck, took a moment to reply. Then he looked down at the pale skin of his palms, just healed, all pink and soft.
"Oh, no, not at all. Thank you. That was all."
Crowley circled him once, twice, thrice, examining him, his black tail looping around Aziraphale's ankles. Aziraphale thought he'd flinch at the touch, but the monster's scales were smooth and pleasantly chill against his calves. He could have run. He could have. But for some insane reason, he didn't feel as if he was in any danger at all. He'd never felt safer, actually.
"What happened?"
he swallowed as Crowley plucked a twig out of his stubborn white curls.
"To the others, the sacrifices before me."
The monster frowned at him for a moment, then gave him one long blink and looked towards the east. Avos. It was Aziraphale's turn to frown. Then he realized, yes, of course, the city of Pathos. The village that sleeps by the sea was indeed in the direction the monster was looking towards, about a 2 days' walk from here. Had the other sacrificers gone on to Paphos instead of meeting their ends? Had they jumped on a ship and sailed away, far from anything they'd known? That made no sense. They already had a home in Lapithus, a place in the community, a town where they were happy and cherished and expendable. Realization settled heavy and bitter in his stomach. No, none of them had been happy at all. None of them had been cherished. They'd been given up by their own community, deemed as useless. So had he. Hurt? The monster asked again, much closer now, white sunlight eyes intent on Aziraphale's face. Aziraphale's throat burned. He felt like a good cry would have helped, but couldn't bring himself to start.
"You?"
The monster saw him trembling and cupped his cheek. His hand was warm and gentle.
"You are the kindest, most beautiful being I've ever met."
"Monster," Crowley hissed out, glaring at him. Aziraphale couldn't help the chuckle that bubbled out of his tight chest. "Of course you are. A very kind, beautiful monster." Crowley looked bored out for only a moment before continuing his inspection. He tugged lightly on Aziraphale's unpierced ear, sending a shiver down his spine. He seemed captivated by the way Aziraphale's ivory tunic draped over his shoulders, running his long nails over it, pulling quietly at the fabric. Aziraphale cleared his throat, cheeks flaming with an emotion that was neither embarrassment nor shame.
"Ah, if you're looking for your symbol, the Archon decided it was to be marked between the shoulder blades."
That was either the right or the wrong thing to say, because Crony's large eyes widened a fraction more, and he reached for the bottom of Xerophid's tunic, beginning to pull it up to undress him. Xerophid untied the knot at his waist without a second thought, so that his clothes could slip easily over his head. He stood naked under the setting sun and under Crowley's curious gaze. He closed his eyes. The monster slithered behind him and caressed the tattoo on his back with both hands, a slow stroke downwards that had a Xerophil bite into his bottom lip. His penis was unmistakably filling now, and he made no move to hide it. Crowley pressed his lips to the snake symbol, tenderly, almost reverently, and Xerophil moaned aloud. The monster's hands were resting on his hips. He laid his own over them and guided them forward, urging him closer.
"I was sent here for you,"
he breathed out, knees wobbly, heart beating loudly in his ears.
"It'd be, well, only proper for you to take me. A ways not to, really."
Crowley might have barely spoken a word in 10 years, but he seemed to understand perfectly what a Xerophil was telling him, and all the things he wasn't. Before he knew it, Xerophil was being lifted off his feet and carried away towards Crowley's cave, and then deep inside it. Crowley had too many teeth, and they were sharp. His spine bent in ways that shouldn't have been possible. His laughter didn't come easily, but when it did, it was brief, loud, and infectious. Xerophil loved him fiercely. The days blended into one another. Little by little, Crowley started to talk more. He knew how to, but he'd spent too many years up there by himself, his only company bushes and animals, and the sun setting and dawning over impervious, uninhabited mountains. Xerophil spent a week or a year between his furs, being spoiled rotten. Crowley hand-fed him grapes and roasted lamb, conjured red wine and freshly baked bread for him. He carried him to the subterranean lake inside the cave and washed him, then massaged scented oils into his skin and hair until Xerophil's entire body felt warm and liquid. He had him any which way. The first time tender and hesitant, spending an age and a half with his face between Xerophil's legs, learning the curves and rhythms of his body, until Xerophil had all but begged to be taken. The second time, Xerophil on his hands and knees, Crowley's strong, long tongue fucking into him, until Xerophil's arms were shaking, and he had to drop down onto his elbows, forehead against his wrists, panting. He'd never felt more alive. The third time, gaining confidence, sitting Xerophil onto one of his cocks, daring him to take control and ride him, which he did, more than gladly. The fourth time, both of them finishing too soon from the memory of how good the first three had been. Taking no time to undress, frenziedly rubbing themselves against each other through fabric. For the first time in his life, Xerophil had no fear, no obligations, no orders to follow. All his needs were met immediately, and then also all his wishes and desires. Crowley dressed him in expensive silks and jewelry, brought him flowers and sweet delicacies, and never made a big deal out of it at all. He just offered his love to Aziraphale and didn't wait around to be thanked. He still didn't allow him to call him kind, or generous, or good. But he was. He truly was. And Aziraphale still didn't believe his love. Until the day he woke up to Crowley waiting by his side. His tail was tapping against the ground like it always did when he was nervous about something. Good morning! Aziraphale cupped Crowley's cheek in his hand, stroking the monster's sharp cheekbone with his thumb. Is everything all right? Yes. Crowley's big yellow eyes started to the right in a way that made Aziraphale suspicious. Aziraphale followed his gaze and saw a new opening in the smooth stone wall of their cave. That's new. Is it? Crowley shrugged, pretending to be nonchalant, and Aziraphale felt such an overwhelming wave of affection for the silly, wonderful snake that he had to clear his throat and cover himself for a moment. He stood up and walked towards the new opening. It was just big enough to let him through, and when he stepped in, he found a room that didn't exist at all the day before. A circular window at the very top let the light filter in gently, illuminating a table and a chair in the center. On all sides, shelves upon shelves, filled with scrolls, inscriptions, precious objects that were all very, very familiar to him. His library. Crowley had stolen his library from the village and brought it up here for him and created the perfect room to store it in. The quiet shuffling of scales against stone told him Crowley was right behind him, waiting for his reaction. Aziraphale turned around, perfectly aware his eyes were wet, but unable to stop himself. His heart was suddenly pounding in his chest, and his throat felt tight and hot. Aziraphale? Crowley leaped out of the shadows and towards him. Was this not what you wanted? Did I?
No, beloved, no. This is wonderful. It's perfect. But it's...
His voice broke on the next sentence.
I can't stay here forever. You are aware of this, aren't you?
What? Crowley assessed him with one slow, long blink. Why not?
Oh, Crowley, this has been...
Aziraphale gestured around himself at the room full of his most precious treasures.
Like living inside the loveliest dream. But the fact remains that we are nothing alike.
Crowley tugged at the hem of Aziraphale's tunic where it touched his thigh and held it in his hand, as if to keep him with him, and it broke Aziraphale's heart. We're alike in every way that matters.
But we aren't.
Aziraphale looked down at his lover's hand, at his own legs, so different from Crowley's tail. He took a step back, his voice shaky and choked, and Crowley's hand fell away from him.
Oh, we won't be. Not forever. One day, I won't be here anymore, and I can't bear the thought of what that would mean for you.
Crowley was silent, as Aziraphale could see the realization sinking in. It was one thing to climb a hill, thinking he'd die, and then find himself in the arms of the creature that was supposed to kill him. It was another altogether to realize he was in love,
actual love.
Everlasting. The kind that made him want to put flowers in a monster's hair, sing him to sleep, travel down to the beach in the summer to see him happily splash in the seawater. It was terrifying to realize he might want to stay with Crowley, stay with him forever. But there was no forever for him. There couldn't be. He'd grow old and die, and he'd be fine with this when he was leaving nobody behind. He wasn't fine with it anymore. He looked at Crowley, really looked at him, at the disarrayed locks of hair from laying next to him, at his wild golden eyes that always betrayed his feelings a little too much. He loved him. He had to fix this.
"There has to be something we can do,"
he heard himself say, and before he knew it, he was turning around and looking for the most ancient, most valuable part of his collection.
"There has to be."
He grabbed a selection of scrolls with much less care than their condition would have allowed and laid them on the table in the center. He unrolled the first one and began to read. There was a quiet hope blooming in his heart. Whenever he'd needed an answer, the old master's words had always helped him. He couldn't be the first human in this predicament. There had to be some ancient tale, some forgotten legend that would shed some light. What do I do? He'd almost forgotten about Crowley altogether, but he was still there, anxiously towering over him as he read.
"Oh, yes, of course. I don't assume you'd like to sit with me and read?"
Crowley made a face. "I don't read." And Xerophil couldn't help a little chuckle at that.
"Would you sit with me and let me read to you, then?"
"That I can do." Crowley snapped his fingers and a big pillow appeared on the floor. He lay on it, his tail protectively wrapped around a Xerophil's chair. He stayed there until the sun had set, until he had to light torches all around a Xerophil and insisted for him to eat something. At last, when Aziraphale's eyes felt too heavy to keep them open, Crowley dragged him off the chair and over him, holding him against his chest. Despite himself, Aziraphale felt his body melting into that embrace, exhaustion overtaking him.
"I can't stop there. I have found nothing specific yet."
"So, you found something?"
"Well..."
Aziraphale suppressed a yawn and felt Crowley's warm hand over his head, patting his hair.
"All of them report that any man that dares living too close to a monster will soon become a monster himself. Cautionary tales, I suspect."
"That's what we'll do then." Aziraphale's eyes closed at last, and he slowly fell asleep. He had a strange dream that he was stuck in the middle of a labyrinth, and the walls were made of papyrus, and, try as he might, he couldn't rip them apart to get out. He thought at some point he heard Crowley's voice speaking. "I'll keep you close," he said. It was a spring day when it finally happened. Aziraphale had Crowley's lips pressed against his shoulder blade, his tail around his throat, and two of his long fingers inside him. He was on all fours, one knee bent under his stomach, and one leg slightly stretched out behind him. Crowley had been fingering him for so long, Aziraphale had forgotten how to speak, and was reduced to desperate moans and pleas.
"You have no idea," Crowley growled against his skin, "what you do to me, seeing you like this."
He pressed his hard cocks against Aziraphale's side, letting him feel them.
"I could do this for hours. I could do this for day."
There was a sudden whoosh as Aziraphale came, and he shook and cried out before dropping onto their bed. He rubbed himself weakly against it, letting the last of it wash through his body.
"Crowley?"
he asked, not feeling him against his body anymore.
"Is everything all right?"
Hearing no answer, Aziraphale turned around and saw nothing. White. Slowly he realized it wasn't something wrong with his vision. There was a very real, very white wing behind him. The next thing he realized was that it was his wing. It was attached to his back. And then he also noticed he had flung Crowley across the cave.
"Darling!"
He jumped to his feet and almost fell, the weight of the wings upsetting his balance.
"Are you all right?"
Crowley was shaking, and Aziraphale rushed towards him. It was only when he kneeled next to him that he realized his dear monster was laughing.
"What?"
"Angel." Crowley looked up at him, past him, to his wings. "You're an angel."
"Oh."
He blinked and reached behind him to touch his wings. They were soft and full. He tried beating them and watched as Crowley's hair was swept away from his grinning face.
"Do you know what this means?"
Aziraphale smiled. Oh, he had a hunch. He'd been waiting, hoping for this to happen.
"I'm not a human anymore, am I?"
Crowley stood up, pulled him up, and tried to hug him, bumping into his wings, and then finding a way to hold him despite them.
"You're not."
He ran a hand across the top of a wing, and that simple gesture sent sparks of pleasure down Aziraphale's back.
"Does it make you sad?"
Aziraphale shook his head.
"It probably should, but it doesn't at all."
"Come on." Crowley took his hand and miracled him clean as he led him towards the exit of the cave.
"Let's go try out those wings."
The end. Happy birthday, Shamir.